This is a podcast for the MA in Online Journalism at Birmingham City University. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about scoping your territory as a journalist. In other words, finding out information about a field or an area that you're going to be reporting on. And I'm going to cover three key elements of this. Firstly, briefly, I'm going to cover the role of scoping in how a journalist works, how they use scoping activities to find out useful sources for leads. Secondly, I'm going to talk about how to manage those feeds that you often use to spot leads for stories. And finally, I'm going to give a whole wide range of tips for finding sources and finding different feeds across a range of different platforms. So first, let's begin with scoping itself. Now, scoping is really one of the key first activities that a journalist does when they start looking for stories and when they start reporting on a new area. In some cases, the actual reporting itself might be entirely down to scoping. So if you've ever read a listicle on a site like BuzzFeed, or an explainer, or a backgrounder, or a how-to, or a best-of list, these things are all examples of journalism using scoping for a story. But in this particular instance, I'm talking about scoping when you first start reporting on an area. And that means finding out what are the useful sources to keep following in order to hopefully get a regular supply of ideas and leads and contacts. Now, there are some examples from traditional media of scoping out sources. Quite often, for example, you will follow the local media in an area. You will follow local blogs. You will follow individuals who blog in your area. You may well follow specialist media, such as if you're a health reporter, you would read health publications as well. You will look for experts. You will look for campaigns. You will look for political records, speeches, reports. You will have diaries and calendars of forthcoming events, and you might look for releases of documents and data. And then there are public discussions, meetings and events. All of these are useful examples of places where you might get regular sources of information. But I want to move on specifically to how you manage those types of sources of information online as a networked online journalist. And this is what I refer to as feeds for leads. So subscribing to a number of different feeds in order to get leads for stories. In the 20th century, journalists really had an analog physical infrastructure when it came to managing their information. They would have news wires, they would have contacts, often in a contacts book, a physical book containing those contacts details, and they would have access to archives. And between those three resources, they would have the ingredients to be able to get leads on stories, to be able to follow those up with contacts, and then to be able to fill in background from the archives. Notably, most of that infrastructure was controlled by the institution. The institution owned the archives, the institution owned the newswire subscriptions, and to access the newswires or archives, journalists would have to go into the building. In the 21st century, however, that infrastructure has increasingly moved into the journalists' control. So journalists still control contacts, but increasingly they are maintaining their own archives using tools like Dropbox, Google Drive, Pinboard, and I'll come on to those later on. But particularly the biggest shift has been around newswires. What used to be called newswires are now generally referred to as feeds. So journalists still have access to newswires, but now online. And also a whole range of feeds of information through email, RSS readers, social media dashboards, and other avenues. And that's what I'm going to explore in this podcast. Now, I want to start with email. Email is probably the easiest way, or certainly the way that most journalists, if not all journalists, manage information inputs. And they might get press releases through emails. You will probably subscribe to newsletters through email. And it's worth thinking about what sort of information you want to have coming in through your email feeds. Google Alerts is a really good example. Google Alerts allows you to be alerted when Google finds a new result, a new web page that meets some search criteria that you have specified. So if you're wanting to be alerted when any sort of report is published on truancy, for example, say you're reporting on schools, then you might set up a Google Alert for the phrase truancy and report. Increasingly, you can also use intelligent email aggregators, newsletters that will pull together a collection of the most shared stories or links within your social network. Some of the best known tools in this regard are paper.li and Nuzzle, N-U-Z-Z-E-L. All of these are listed in the slides that go with this podcast, by the way. Nuzzle looks at all the people that you follow on Twitter and sends you an email every day with the stories that are being most shared. So that's a useful way of distilling and filtering the information that's being shared within your contacts. Likewise, the blog hosting platforms WordPress and Medium offer a facility to subscribe to individual bloggers and to get a regular email update when people publish. Medium in particular will look at your network and send you an email of interesting stories rather than necessarily stories from a particular group of people. On LinkedIn, you can opt in to get an email when any of your contacts are mentioned in the news, which again is very useful to be alerted to things happening in your industry. And then there's a tool called Change Detection. Change Detection will send you an email whenever a web page that you have specified changes. So if you want to know when a web page changes, you can use changedetection.com to send you an email to tell you. And more broadly, if you use RSS feeds, which I'm going to come on to, you can convert RSS feeds into email alerts using tools like ifttt.com. Moving on from email, one of the problems with email is that it can be quite hard to manage when you've got lots and lots of different emails from lots of different sources. And for that reason, a lot of journalists, myself included, prefer to use RSS readers. An RSS reader will pull in multiple feeds from multiple sources and show them on one page. Or, if you prefer, you can set up different pages, different folders for different collections of feeds. Some of the most widely used RSS readers include Feedly and NetVibes. The advantage of NetVibes is that you can share a dashboard with other people. Flipboard is also worth looking at. Flipboard isn't normally described as an RSS reader. It's normally described as a personalized news service, but essentially it's the same thing. You choose the websites that you want to follow and you add them to your RSS reader. You add them to Flipboard or NetVibes or Feedly. Now, in fact, you can see an example of a shared NetVibes dashboard at netvibes.com/behameside. The address is in the slides for this podcast. And on there, you'll see a series of dashboards that we've created for the Birmingham Eastside website, which pull in feeds from all sorts of local organisations, blogs, news outlets, and RSS feeds. And it's a good idea to look at if you want ideas on how to create an RSS reader and create a dashboard in that. Broadly speaking, the way to use an RSS reader is to add a new feed and then just paste the address of the website that you want to follow, and it should pick up automatically any RSS feeds that exist. In addition to RSS, you can also use dashboards that are used to monitor trends. The best example of this is Google Trends. Google Trends will show you what people are searching for most at the moment. But Facebook has also created a dashboard specifically for journalists called Signal, and this allows you to see what people are talking about most on Facebook and Instagram. For Twitter, you can use Trends24 or Dataminr. And then there are services that are sold directly to news organisations like CrowdTangle and NewsWhip. And you can see examples of all of these on the slides, including some videos that show you how Dataminr and CrowdTangle work. And you can also see a story about Twitter denying access to their Dataminr service to the American government agencies. Also on the slide, you can see a video of a BBC journalist talking about how she uses social media to familiarise herself with a new area when she has arrived there. Probably the best known dashboard for following social media is TweetDeck or Hootsuite. These allow you to not only follow people's updates on Twitter, but also allows you to follow individual lists or searches or other criteria. Hootsuite in particular also allows you to pull in Facebook and other feeds. And again, on Moodle on the presentation, you'll see a video for tips on using TweetDeck. Finally then, I want to move on to finding useful feeds to add to those dashboards. It's one thing to be able to use TweetDeck or an RSS reader, but actually finding the people to follow on there is a skill in itself. And in this respect, there are all sorts of different skills for different platforms. Firstly, when it comes to RSS feeds, have a think about what type of feed you might want to receive. So you don't necessarily want the general news feed for a whole newspaper or publication. It's more likely you're going to want something more specific. So go to the particular section of a website, for example, education or health or a particular team, and see if you can use that in your RSS reader to get a more specific feed for that section or organization. When you're on organizational web pages such as press offices, council FOI requests, things like that, look out for the RSS icon. This is an orange button, and you'll see an example on the presentation slides again. Look when you're on websites and blogs, look for lists of links, what are sometimes called blog rolls. These are often a useful way of finding related sites in the same network. Beyond the RSS reader, it's worth looking for events listings sites like Eventbrite, Meetup, and lanyard.com. All of these sites will allow you to find events coming up locally using those tools, and many of them will allow RSS feeds that you can also copy into an RSS reader. Likewise, if you do a search on Google Alerts, you can also have the option to receive that alert as a feed instead of an email. Moving on to Twitter, one useful technique is to find someone significant in a particular area and look to see what lists they are a member of. You'll see an image on the presentation slide showing where you can find this. So you click on the lists button on their profile page, and then you can see which lists they are a member of. When you look at those lists, those are good ways to find other people who tweet around similar subjects or in the same area. And you can actually subscribe to those lists and follow them in TweetDeck as well. In Facebook, you can also create lists. This is a feature which isn't used very widely, but if, again, you want to be able to follow people separately and you want to be able to switch between channels of updates, then it's useful to organize your friends into Facebook lists and follow them that way. On a more advanced front, if you're looking to find people on Facebook that might be of interest journalistically, go to the Facebook friend finder at facebook.com/friends/requests. Here you can not only search by name, but you can search by employer, by college or university. You can look for mutual friends or other ways of finding people who might be of interest. Certainly you can look for the area that they're in, for example. Facebook graph search is another useful way of finding pages and groups that might be useful. And the way that you phrase a search in Facebook is really important here. So one example would be pages liked by people who live in Birmingham or whatever city you want to choose. You'll find on the presentation slides other examples of ways to search for people who like a particular page or people who have joined a particular group or groups that have been joined by those people. Once you conduct this search, it's important to switch to the pages or groups view of results to make sure that you're looking at those results for just pages or groups. LinkedIn is hugely useful for finding useful sources. Again, you can narrow your search to search for companies rather than individuals, and you can look for all companies in a particular location, for example. Equally, you can look at people who work for a particular company as well. So it's useful for finding people to follow or organisations to follow for useful leads. Obviously, it's easier to follow companies because they don't have to approve you following them. Individuals have to accept your contact request. Snapchat and Instagram are worth mentioning as well, because increasingly people are using Snapchat and Instagram to communicate with their followers. The best way to find people on Snapchat is to find mentions of their Snapchat profile on other social media. On the presentation slides, you'll find an example of how to search Twitter within a Twitter list to find people who are mentioning Snapchat, and therefore you'll be able to find their accounts. And there's a link to an article on the online journalism blog explaining other ways to find Snapchat accounts to follow as a journalist. On Instagram, you can obviously search by hashtag, but the other way to search is by location. And the website WorldCam allows you to do just that. There are lots of other social networks and social platforms that might be useful for scoping, but that's plenty, I'm sure, to be getting on with. What I would like you to do now is start to bring together those skills. Just to sum up, firstly, scoping is important because it allows you to find out useful feeds, useful sources of potential stories in your area. Secondly, in order to manage those sources of information, those feeds, you will need probably more than one type of software to be able to do that. That might be an RSS reader, it might be email, it might be social media dashboards. And finally, you need to use a range of techniques to find useful people to follow and organizations to follow across multiple platforms. Now your independent study is to start to build that infrastructure, start to subscribe to useful email newsletters, RSS feeds, and social media dashboards. To get something out of that, it's a good idea to write a listicle, an article which is a list, something like the 13 people to follow if you're interested in X, whatever your subject or area is. And that's a nice way to sometimes get people to tell you other people or organizations that should be followed in that area. In terms of further reading, there's a link on the presentation to an article I wrote on 7 ways to follow a field you want to investigate, and you'll find lots of other resources on Moodle, including a screencast about RSS readers if you want to dig deeper into that.